I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are on His ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in your song. He built the earth, He spread sky and fix the starry lights on high. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in your song.
Thank you, men, for leading us in worship with that song. Truly, God is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. This is the Voice of Hope, and I thank you for tuning in today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Last week on the Voice of Hope, we began a study from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. This is the account of Daniel and his experience in the lion's den. The title of our study was The Servant of the Living God. As we began our study, I said that this text explores several realities that are part of life for anyone who truly wants to be the servant of the living God. The first reality we looked at was exercise a disciplined life. We talked about the strength of Daniel's character and his devotion to the God of Israel. We noted two things about Daniel specifically mentioned in the text. He had an excellent spirit, and he practiced faultless service. No wonder he was promoted to the second in command to the king. And then we also began looking at the second reality for the servant of the living God. He should expect direct opposition. Daniel's opponents and all those who oppose God today hate God's law. They hate it because it convicts them of sin. Now, to resume our study, I will read from the text, Daniel chapter 6, verses 11 to 28. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and is steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So Daniel's accusers rushed to the king. Have you noticed something? There's quite a bit of rushing around in this chapter. Verses 7, 12, and 16 all contain this idea of things being done in haste. Proverbs 29:20 asks, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And Proverbs 19, verse 2 reminds us that desire without knowledge is good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. These men, as we'll learn later, certainly missed their way. Now, once these men are assembled in the king's presence, they remind him that the law of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. And the king, still unaware of their plot, admits that, yes, that's true. The law is unchangeable. Now, I want you to notice the way in which they accused Daniel. They didn't say, "One of your most trusted advisors has violated your decree." Instead, they made the charge against Daniel as a member of the Jewish race, a despised minority. They said, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Can you hear the disdain in their words? You know, the servants of God are a despised minority in many places around the world today. And that attitude is growing here in the Western world. You're not allowed to even voice a legitimate criticism of other ethnic and religious minorities or protected classes of people. But then Jews and Christians can be slandered without any serious consequences. But that shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said it would be this way. In John 15, 18-20, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." So now the trap has been sprung, and Darius is extremely upset. He's upset with himself. He realizes he's made a big mistake, and he works from that moment until sundown to try to find a way to avoid the consequences of his decree. He explores every legal loophole, but none can achieve what he wants. So once again, in verse 15, his officials come thronging into his presence, reminding him the law cannot be changed. Reluctantly, the king has Daniel brought and thrown into the den of lions. But in the process of having this done, he makes a most interesting statement. The king says, "Your God, whom you serve, he must deliver you." The implication of Darius' words is this: I've tried to save you, and I've failed. Now your God must save you. Evidently, Daniel's piety and devotion, coupled with his devotion to his God, had made a deep impression on the king. After Daniel is cast into the den of lions, a stone is laid over the opening, and it's sealed with the king's signet. The decree was fully executed, and now no human being could intervene, not even the king himself. This sealing of the stone reminds me of another stone that was sealed. The stone that covered the door of the garden tomb where Jesus' body was placed after the crucifixion. It was sealed with an official government seal designed to prevent anyone from tampering with it. So the king went to his palace, and he passed a sleepless night. He refused any diversion, food, music, whatever. He didn't want any of it. Most likely, he never before had become so emotionally invested in a capital case. Here was an absolute monarch, accustomed to brutality and the execution of criminals, and yet he couldn't sleep. Perhaps all he could think about was his own stupidity and the innocence of Daniel. What a contrast between him and Nebuchadnezzar, who had no compassion for Daniel's three friends when they were cast into the fiery furnace. Finally, the long night is past, and now it's the king's turn to do some rushing around. Picture Darius in the dim light of the early dawn, making his way anxiously to the lion's den. Unable to see clearly in the dimness of the morning, he calls out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Evidently, the king thought Daniel's deliverance was possible, or he wouldn't have spoken audibly. But the fact that he spoke in such an anguished voice leads us to believe he didn't really expect a reply. He only expected to hear the low growl of the lions in response to his call. But Daniel answers the king, and that leads us to our final reality for the servant of God. The final reality is the servant of God will experience a definite deliverance. Imagine the king's surprise and relief when the calm voice of Daniel answers from the pit. Daniel shows his composure by addressing the king with the traditional respect, and he tells him that the lions haven't hurt him. He attributes the miracle to God and to the fact that he was innocent of any wrongdoing against the king. Daniel's obedience to God didn't necessarily make him guilty of disobedience toward the king. Daniel told the king that the Lord had sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions so they didn't hurt him. Like the psalmist in Psalm 59, Daniel had been surrounded by bloodthirsty men who sought his destruction. They conspired against him, circling around him and snarling like vicious, hungry dogs. We don't have any record of Daniel's prayer while he was in the den, but it certainly could have been similar to verses 9 to 16 of this same psalm, Psalm 59. "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them ever be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. And at evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. The king is overjoyed at hearing Daniel's voice, and he immediately commands his servants to remove Daniel from the lion's den. It seems that Daniel was probably lifted directly out of the den by the means of ropes. The king and the bystanders could hardly believe the fact that Daniel hadn't sustained even the slightest injury. He attributes his deliverance to his faith in Almighty God. Now, as I said earlier, we shouldn't infer from this account or others like it that God is obligated to physically deliver us in our times of trouble. Even Daniel's friends, when they were facing the incredible threat of the blazing fiery furnace, recognized this possibility. But they said, "Even if our God doesn't physically deliver us from your hand, O king, we will not bow down and worship the image that you have set up." But of one thing we can be assured: the presence of God will accompany us in each and every situation. We will be delivered in life or by death. Now, the king commands that Daniel's accusers be brought before him. Since this would have been a very large group of people, it's likely that only the ringleaders were brought and thrown into the den. That would have sent a strong message to the other accusers to be very careful before they brought an accusation against Daniel before the king. And showing his characteristic cruelty, Darius orders the wives and the children of these men to be thrown into the den with them. That punishment was in accordance with the treatment of false witnesses. You can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verses 16 to 21. And it's also illustrated in the case of Haman in the book of Esther, chapter 7. With sickening finality, the biblical record states that these accusers and their families were torn to shreds before they ever reached the bottom of the den. What a horrible end. This chapter concludes with Darius' proclamation to his whole realm. In his proclamation, he acknowledges a very important reality: the permanence of God's reign and kingdom. This reality is an important part of the definite deliverance for us as the children of God. No matter what happens to us physically, our ultimate deliverance is assured. In the words of the Apostle Paul, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." The king instructs his subjects they must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Today, we live in an age of what is called political correctness. Employers, friends, families, community groups, and yes, even churches make it clear that certain viewpoints won't be tolerated. Bakers and florists, street evangelists, and others have felt the force of law being brought to bear against them because of their obedience to biblical commands and principles. Obedient Christ followers are being pushed to the margins of society as haters, bigots, homophobes, and fanatics. You know, the progression of these events may cause us to be fearful or discouraged, perhaps frustrated, sometimes even angry. But let's not forget at least two things. First, Jesus told us not to be surprised by any of this. They did the exact same things to him. Second, we must remember that many of our brothers and sisters scattered across the world are enduring much greater suffering than we are. Their endurance and courage should inspire you and me to greater faithfulness. Daniel's life is clearly an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ. Both men lived lives of impeccable holiness, though Daniel wasn't perfect. Both of them were falsely accused by those whom they should have been able to trust. False pretense and manufactured evidence were used in both convictions. Daniel escaped immediate death only to die of old age. Jesus didn't escape death. He embraced it in order to break its power. The lion's den and the garden tomb were both sealed with the official seal of the governing powers. The first seal was broken by an earthly authority. The second seal was broken by the power of God. Daniel emerged from the lion's den alone. Jesus emerged from the tomb, guaranteeing that you and I too will ultimately rise from the dead. Daniel showed us how to live, but Jesus, the greater Daniel, makes our living possible, worthwhile, and everlasting. May these realities encourage each of us in our pursuit of being a servant of the living God.
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel?
Deliver Daniel.
Deliver Daniel.
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel? And why not every man?
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel?
Deliver
Daniel.
Deliver Daniel. Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel? And why not every man?
He delivered Daniel from the lion's den,
yeah.
Jonah from the belly of the
whale,
and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and
why not every man?
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel?
Deliver
Daniel.
Deliver Daniel. Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel? And why not every man?
The wind blows east and the wind blows west. It blows like the judgment day. And every poor soul that never did pray will be glad to pray that day.
Pray, pray.
The moon runs down in a purple stream. The sun refused to
shine.
And every star disappeared. King Jesus shall be mine.
Mine shall be mine.
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel?
Deliver
Daniel.
Deliver
Daniel.
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel? And why not every man?
Didn't my Lord deliver
Daniel? Deliver Daniel.
Deliver Daniel.
Deliver
Shadrach.
Deliver Meshach.
Deliver
also Abednego. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? And why not every man?
Thank you, men. Now, if you'd like a copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Servant of the Living God. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. The easiest way for you to make your request is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or finally, mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to this teaching when it's convenient for you. Remember, the title of the teaching is The Servant of the Living God. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, by mail at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, where you can learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to our archived programming when you visit the website. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel. And until we meet again,
we've read and heard the story in the blessed old book, how the walls of Jericho the people marched round, and when the trumpet sounded, how the mighty walls shook. Walls around the city came a-tumbling down. The Lord delivered Daniel from the hungry lion's den. He rolled the waters back before old Moses and his men. He led his people out of Egypt's bondage and its sin. The Lord calmed the ocean and the mighty winds that blew. He saved the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace too. He rose up from the grave just like the prophet said he'd do. He never will forsake us, matters not what may come. Safely he will lead his faithful children on home. The Lord said, Brother Jonah, go to Nineveh land. But he disobeyed the Lord by hiding away. Then Jonah got converted to obey the command. From the well the Lord delivered him on that day. The Lord delivered Daniel from the hungry lion's den. He rolled the waters back before old Moses and his men. He led his people out of Egypt's bondage and its sin. The Lord did calm the ocean and the mighty winds that blew. He saved the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace too. He rose up from the grave just like the prophet said he'd do. He never will forsake us, matters not what may come. Safely he will lead his faithful children on home. The Lord has raised the dead and caused the blinded to see. Cleansed the leper spots and turned the water to wine. The Lord is just the same today and ever will be. There's no other power like the Savior divine. The Lord delivered Daniel from the hungry lion's den. He rolled the waters back before old Moses and his men. He led his people out of Egypt's bondage and its sin. The Lord did calm the ocean and the mighty winds that blew. He saved the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace too. He rose up from the grave just like the prophet said he'd do. He never will forsake us, matters not what may come.